Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. We are injury attorneys. Today, we're talking about injury subjects. We try to give you information about injuries. We are injury attorneys. Brad and I have over 30 years of experience each helping injured victims, helping their families, helping them put their lives back together again. And so we've gained a little bit of experience in doing that. We want to share that experience and knowledge with you. And by the way, if you want to listen to these any of these shows on our website, championsofthepeople.com, all you have to do is go to the website. All the podcasts are there. You can pick and choose the title that you want. You can listen to it. Our podcasts of our Saturday morning live call-in show and our website as well, championsofthepeople.com. And don't forget our books. We now have five books published. One of them is called Hit and Run, Cowards of the Street, and it has insurance information in there, and it touches a little bit on what we're going to talk about today. You can get any of our books for free if you call our law firm, or if you go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, you can download them free, an ebook there. If you want a hard copy, as I said, you can call our law firm. Today, we're talking about bad faith. Last week, we talked about bad faith. We're continuing to do so. Here's the example. Here's the example that we use and explain it to you, what bad faith is by the insurance companies. So example is you're in a car crash. You're not at fault. The other person's at fault. They injured you. They did something wrong. They ran a red light. They were driving drunk. They were speeding. They were all of the above, any of the above. They were driving recklessly. They were texting on their phone. Some idiot was texting on their phone and hit you. Or they ran a stop sign and T-boned you. So we have an accident. You've been injured. And now you try to collect insurance proceeds from the at-fault driver's insurance company. That's the way it works. First, you go to the at-fault driver's insurance company. Sometimes they don't have any insurance. So then you have a UM, uninsured motorist event situation, which triggers your own insurance coverage. Sometimes they don't have enough insurance. They have some. Maybe they have the statutory minimum of $25,000, but your damages are worth much more than that, and your medical bills are even higher than that. So then you have to go file a UM or UIM claim, UIM, underinsured motorist coverage, with your own car insurance company. Now, that's the picture. That's what triggers the duties from your insurance company to you. You also have certain duties and obligations as well. Okay, Brad, last week we talked about, you know, the common law of bad faith. We talked about what you have to prove. I mean, suppose the your own insurance company doesn't want to pay you. Let's just recap that a little bit. They fight you on your own injury claim. That's what you paid the premium for.
Now, when you're dealing with your own insurance company on your own contract with the insurance policy that you have to understand the insurance company has a duty to act in good faith when dealing with you. We've talked before about why that's important. And in this situation, good faith has some clear boundaries when we start talking about the fact that when you're calling on the insurance policy, first of all, you've had no opportunity to write anything into the policy. You've had to accept it as is. So you should be able to accept the words in that insurance policy to your benefit and most favorable to you. And second of all, you're hurt. You're in need of insurance. And anytime you're in need of insurance coverage and you're needing to call up your insurance company to get some kind of protection or some kind of help, you're usually in a weakened or vulnerable state. When you're in that state, the insurance company should not take advantage of you. It's part of the covenant of good faith and fair dealing, where they're going to work with you to honor the contract, and the insurance company should be working very hard to honor the contract. Now, what you usually get out of insurance companies, you get just the opposite. You get insurance companies deciding they're going to do delays. You get insurance companies deciding they're going to put you through a bunch of hoops. They're going to make you go through a bunch of unnecessary procedures. Sometimes you're not going to hear from them. It's interesting with an insurance company because when the accident first happens, they're usually going to try and get a hold of you right away to get a statement and get a recorded statement and see what kind of incriminating evidence they can get from you. They're also going to get in touch with you right away to see what if they can get you to sign a bunch of releases and a bunch of documents that will allow them to get a history of your life. And they're usually going to try to, if they can get a quick, small, convenient settlement for them, just give you some money real quick and get you out of their lives, you're going to do it. But if, in fact, they can't get that done, then the next thing you know, you find insurance companies, you find these adjusters that are going to take their sweet time. They're not going to work with you. As a matter of fact, they're going to know they owe you some money. you could almost readily admit it. They're going to say, look, okay, on this claim, you have 100,000 UIM. We know we owe you at least 25,000 and you want 50. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold the $25,000 hostage so that you can't, so that you'll give up because on the 50, because you're going to need that 25,000 so bad. And as they get more and more information about you and learn if you're desperate, next thing you know, they are no longer acting in good faith. And now all of a sudden you got a problem.
Right. And we're talking about common law bad faith. Keep in mind, there's common law bad faith. That's the English common law. We inherited England's law. It's called the common law. That's the case law. It's not statutory law. That's the case law. That's what we mean when we talk about common law anything. But now we're talking about common law good bad faith. Okay. So there's one measure of proof and elements that you need to meet and prove under common law bad faith. Basically, the element or elements are that they didn't have a reasonable basis and they didn't act in good faith. That's a pretty broad category, and there's many nuances to that, which we cannot get into in the show. It takes too long. But basically, there's an implied covenant of good faith that your insurance company has and owes to you to treat you in good faith. So is it good faith to lowball you with a lowball offer? Is it good faith to delay you? Is it good faith to deny your payment when they have a basis to even pay higher? So that's common law bad faith. Now, keep in mind, our example is you're injured in a car crash. You've got treatment. Let's say your medical bills are over $25,000. You have to file a UIM claim with your own car insurance company, and they have to pay you for your injuries, damages, and losses, which they don't want to do. And so one way they can be responsible is breach of contract. They didn't pay under the insurance contract. Another way is common law bad faith. And so we've explained that, and they have the implied obligation of good faith. Now, let's switch gears a little bit, Brad. We have a statute in Colorado. We call it the two-time statute, but there's a statute in Colorado. It's Title 10, Article 3, Section 1116. That's called statutory bad faith. And let's explain to everybody, same scenario. You're injured in a car crash. You make a UIM claim. They're not paying you. So the elements of statutory bad faith basically are they unreasonably delay payment to you or they unreasonably deny payment to you. It's a different standard and different requirement than common law bad faith. Let's explore that just a little bit.
Right. And this statute, it's got a number of different ways that it's that they've learned and they're aware of, and they know the ways that the insurance company will quite often not pay you based on your claim. And things they'll do to keep you from getting your claim processed and recovered. That statute identifies different things. Now, actually, the statute itself, 1116 doesn't. It's actually 1104 that covers those parts of the unfair claim settlement practices. But 1116, if you need to look it up, you know, just put into your internet 10.3.1116. And you'll be able to get some information about this. But what it says is it says, look, we're going to take a look at the way the insurance company has acted. And here's certain things the insurance company just can't do, period. You don't have to prove malice. You don't have to prove that the insurance company intentionally decided not to do it. Although normally, Gary, if you look, these adjusters have been taught to do it that way.
Right.
So, you know, bottom line is they have been taught to do it.
Right.
But even if the insurance company isn't doing it, what the statute seeks to do is put an affirmative duty on the insurance company to go out and make sure that all these potential ways to improperly and unfairly deny you your claim are not happening. It's not just, well, the insurance company goes, well, gee, we just didn't know that was happening. Now they say you have to go out and find out. You have to make sure it's not happening. You have to have policies in effect. You have to have the procedures in effect. You have to have a basis. You have to be able to explain yourself. And if you can't explain yourself, we're going to hold you for two times the damages.
If two times the amount of the covered benefit, that's what the statute says.
Right. So now they're saying, and by the way, you get your attorney's fees too.
Right.
So what they're saying and what the legislature has tried to say is that look, they've recognized that common law remedies are not enough against these insurance companies. The insurance companies have found ways to fight them, to delay them, to deny them, to stretch them. And what happens in common law if you prove they've done all this stuff wrong? Unless you can show malice and a willful and wanton disregard, then all you're left with is recovering what you should have gotten anyway. But now you've been put through these extra months or years. You've been through this, been put through this extra expense. You've gone without your recovery. You've gone without being able to do the things you need to with the money they should have paid you. And you're left with all these damages or all these problems that the insurance company under common law were looking and going, go ahead. Go through all that. We don't care.
Right. Under the common law, it was a little bit more difficult. It still could be done. So don't get us wrong. You can still do it. And we've done it. But so under the common law, you had to have an intentional element as part of the case, not the entire case and not all elements of the case. But the insurance company had to have knowledge that they were acting recklessly or they acted in a disregard of the fact that their actions were unreasonable. A bunch of fancy legal language. However, that can be proven, and many times was and is proven. Then the statutory bad faith came along, was just in the last few years, and that changed the playing field a little bit more in favor of the consumer and against the insurance company. You're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado. We travel to do cases. We're glad to talk to you. If you come to Bell and Pollack, you get not only a free initial consultation, but most importantly, you get a free legal game plan. We have done shows on the legal game plan that we have devised and built with our over 30 years of experience each, our reputation, our knowledge of the causes of action. And so you need a legal game plan. The insurance company has a strategy and a legal game plan against you. What do you have? Bell and Pollack. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting, or if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollack, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollack legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollack, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, we are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. Also, you know, we do injury legal minutes on a variety of stations throughout the week. You can listen to any of our podcasts on our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can get any of our books. We now have 5 of them out and published on our website, championsofthepeople.com. If you want a hard copy, you can call our law firm at any time. Bell and Pollack. Telephone number is 303-795-5900, 795-5900, and in the mountains you can call us at 970-870-8989. That's 870-8989. Today we're still talking about bad faith practices by insurance companies. The example is, in case you missed the top of the show, was you're in a car crash, you're injured, it was the other person's fault. They either didn't have any insurance or they didn't have enough insurance, and now you're forced to file a claim, a UM or UIM claim, with your own car insurance company. And you better have those limits as high as possible. So, Brad, now under the statute, statutory bad faith, 1116 that we're talking about, and we identified that in the first half of the show, under 1116, Now, if you prove that they unreasonably delay, different measure of proof, or unreasonably deny, delay or deny, those are the key words, payment to you unreasonably, then they can be held liable for two times the amount of the covered benefit. And an example is if you have $100,000 UIM policy, you should have more. But if you have $100,000, then you can be they can be held responsible for two times that amount of that benefit. And they don't like this a lot. And that's one of the remedies that consumers have now under this new statute. So you have common law bad faith remedies and you have statutory bad faith remedies as well.
Right. Under 1116, you no longer, just bottom line, the statute does not require that you have to prove bad faith. You don't have to prove a bunch of this malice, but you still have to prove that they acted unreasonable. You have to prove that, you know, you take the Fair Claims Act and you start saying, okay, we're going to compare that to how you really acted. We're going to show where you violated these specific rules. We're going to take the insurance company's practices of all insurance companies and what's written as far as being appropriate practices and standards. We're going to prove that you were acting unreasonable. And if you can show the violations of the statute by implying and applying all the necessary rules, you're going to get two times the covered benefit, which can be a lot of money. And you can also, you're going to be able to get your attorney's fees, which can be a lot of money. And why is that so important? Because let's say you have a policy where your uninsured and underinsured benefit is $50,000 and your injuries are $30,000 or $40,000. And now we're going for two times the covered benefit. I know it's hard for people to visualize in their minds, but the insurance company can successfully and easily cause you, if you're not able to collect attorney's fees for their bad faith, cause you to have to spend so much time and so much money and so much cost and so much in attorney's fees that it's not worth taking the case. It's not worth attacking them.
Right. And so they know that and they understand. And the attorneys that are against you, the insurance company pays for these attorneys. Okay. And so these attorneys love to litigate these cases. And some of them really love it. And the insurance companies, they have a fund, they have money to pay the lawyers to litigate your case. But under the statutory bad faith, which is what we're trying to teach you about right now, you get two times the amount of the covered benefit. That's a big incentive for the insurance companies to treat you fairly. That's a big incentive for the insurance companies to not unreasonably delay payment to you and to not unreasonably deny payment to you. And we're not even to the part of the Unfair Claims Practices Act yet in Colorado, and we may not get to it today, but that's a third leg of the stool that you can use with regard to legitimately recovering for your damages, injuries, and losses. Remember, in this example and in real life examples, you're injured in a car crash. You're on a truck hits you. You're injured as a pedestrian. A car hits you. You're injured on your bicycle. A truck hits you. A van hits you. Now you're making a claim against your own insurance company for UIM benefits or UM benefits. Yes, you can do that when you're a pedestrian. Yes, you can do that when you're on your bicycle. Yes, you can do that when you're walking on the crosswalk across the street. Yes, you can do that when somebody hits you and it's a hit and run. And there's a variety of other permutations of that rule, which we don't have time to cover today. But we're probably not going to get to the Unfair Claim Practices Act today. But just understand, and when you make a claim, then they want to look at your medical records. And they want to look for ways, as we've told you before, to defeat your claim and beat your claim. So is that proper? I mean, suppose they have in their records, which they won't show you, and this is a good example, Brad. Suppose they have in their claims notes, which that you usually don't get or ever get until after you sue them, and they make you sue them to get those claim notes. Suppose they have in their claim notes that this case or your claim or your injuries is worth X dollars, and they don't pay you X dollars. They pay you something less, or they offer you something less.
It happens. You'd be surprised how many times you can find stuff inside their file. Now, they've gotten a little more clever since these statutes were passed, but you could find stuff in their file where they say the injuries and damages here in the case is worth $150,000. Offer them $75,000. The insured is in a terrible shape. The insured needs money. The insured is about to be foreclosed on their home. They can't pay their son's tuition, and so they're going to be without. And so what do? They turn around, they offer less because they say they're desperate. Well, now that doesn't happen anymore. And that's a lot of times what you got to watch for. What do they do now? They don't say it, but the bottom line is if you look at what they've got together, they should be able to value your claim. Now, we may not agree with that valuation, but they should be able to give you a valuation and compare it to what they offered. And if they haven't offered the appropriate amount based on their valuation, then you're looking at an unfair practice.
Right. And so you have to look at the file and you have to see the claims notes. You have to understand they are not paying you. A lot of people get frustrated over this. That's why they go to attorneys. A lot of people feel like they've been lowballed. Maybe that house property damage. That wasn't in our example today, but these laws could apply to your house property damage. Maybe they're not going to pay you for hail damage, wind damage, water damage, and maybe they should. And there's no exclusion in the policy, and they have a duty to. And so then they want to mitigate it or reduce the payout. So they say you really don't need X dollars, which is the higher amount. You really need Y dollars, which is the lower amount. And maybe there's no basis or no reasonable basis or no rational basis for them to offer that or lowball it other than just to get rid of you and make you go away. And all these laws were created, Brad, because there is a superior bargaining power by these insurance companies over their insureds. The insureds don't write the contracts of insurance. The insurance companies and their lawyers do. They don't have any choice in the wording. The insurance companies and their lawyers do. So let's talk about that, because you know they try to look for exclusions, and then they try to, okay, on the merits of the claim, we're going to try to lowball you in one way or another. We have an engineer that came out and looked at your house, or we have a doctor that examined you, and you're not as injured as you say you are. Is that in good faith, especially with some of these so-called independent medical examiners who are not independent at all?
Well, and this is no small matter when it happens. You have hail damage to your house, and you call up your insurance company, and they say, okay, we'll send one of our people out to look. This is no small matter. You think, oh, they're just going to look and let me know what they think and how much they'll pay to repair it. You've got to be careful, because a process has begun, and it's a process that is every bit as difficult and every bit as important to pay attention to as when you're hurt and they say, well, we're going to send you to a doctor that we want to have examine you, and we want to have that doctor examine you, because everything you say when you go to that doctor, everything you do, everything that happens is going to be important. How you lead up to that examination, what happens and what happens afterwards, and understanding that you've got a doctor to begin with who is making a lot of money from these insurance companies. He's been selected. He or she has been selected by the insurance company to go out and do this examination. Now, and I know they like to say, oh, we didn't really select this doctor. We went to an agency. We went to a place where doctors sign up agreeing to do this kind of thing, and we didn't really pick this doctor. Well, no, that's bunk. Let's face it. First of all, they wouldn't use the doctor if they got a name they didn't like. And they've got histories on these doctors, and they've got a record on these doctors. Second of all, they wouldn't go to an agency that's going to get them a doctor if they didn't know that agency doesn't have a tendency to get them the doctors they want, or the agency is going to get the doctors they want. Used to be, Gary, we'd look and we'd say, okay, the person looking at the roof or the person looking at you. We used to look and say, hey, you're hand selected by the insurance companies. Well, the insurance companies didn't like that. So what they did instead is they, you know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, you creeped up all these referring groups of one form or another, that now the insurance companies simply say, we just asked the referring group for a doctor. But you know, they're nothing more than creatures and creations of the insurance company to try to fool juries.
Right. You know, think about this a second. You are injured in this car crash example we've got going, and you filed a UIM claim and you've got lost wages. Maybe you haven't worked for 6 months, 3 months, or only part-time. You've got these damages, injuries, and losses. And your own insurance company says, okay, we want you to go to one of our doctors. And Brad was just talking about that. And here you go. If it's under the policy, then you got to go to one of their so-called examinations by one of their medical doctors. You're going to go to a doctor you've never met before. You're going to go to a doctor who has no duty or obligation to you. Under the Greenberg case, they have no duty or obligation to even tell the truth. And they usually say anything about you in a report. Now, you're going to go to this doctor. I suppose this doctor has worked for this insurance company, your insurance company, XYZ insurance company, that's your company, for 20 years, or has done 200 evaluations or 500 evaluations. Suppose this doctor has made $500,000 a year evaluating and examining people like you. To write a report that something like, I've seen reports that say you're not injured, or you were injured in the beginning, but you should have been over this in 6 weeks. Now it's a year later, implying you're lying, implying you're making it up. I want to ask you something. Is your insurance company, by sending you that through that procedure, acting in good faith? Are they treating your interests equal to their interests, or are they favoring their interests? Just on the doctor question, just on the independent doctor question. And so Brad, that's the way that part of it is set up. And so, you know, and we're not yet to the Unfair Claims Practices Act. That'll be next week. But just whether or not they unreasonably delay or deny because they handpick a doctor, either through a third-party agency or themselves, that they know is going to look at your whole situation with an eye towards the insurance company.
Right. And at that point, you need to have a lawyer involved. Because to be really frank about it, normally you're not going to be able to stop them from being able to use the person they want to use. What you've got to do then is get a hold of lawyers, get a hold of people who can get the history on this doctor, who can learn about this doctor, who can show that, wait a minute, this doctor has a bias and a prejudice in favor of insurance companies. Basically, the bias and prejudice starts with the huge amounts of money they make or they stand to make or they can make by getting themselves a reputation with the insurance companies and getting themselves in a position where insurance companies want them. And as I stated, these agencies that are the go-betweens, they know darn good and well, if we don't supply this insurance company with a doctor who's going to play ball with him, who's going to be biased and prejudiced and is going to play the game to deny people their benefits, then the insurance company is going to quit coming from us and we're not going to get our cut.
Right. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we have over 30 years of experience each. We put all of our experience into all of our books. Our most recent book, Legal Game Plan. You need a copy. You need a legal game plan because the insurance company sure has a legal game plan against you. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
Ready for an extraordinary lunch? As fast or as slow as you want it, with all fresh ingredients? Caitlin's Restaurant has it all. Express lunches that won't keep you waiting, or if you prefer, lunch served in that old-fashioned homemade style. All made fresh, on the spot. Whether it's a fresh-made sandwich with homemade chips, quesadilla loaded with cheddar or jack cheeses, or scratch-made soups, you'll find everything you love at Caitlin's. Caitlin's is located on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. How about green chili chicken stew? Think about a variety of fresh-made sandwiches or 11 different kinds of burgers made to order with 1/2 pound of the finest USDA choice lean ground beef. You might favor a homemade New Mexican recipe with carne adobada burritos, chicken enchiladas, carnitas burritos, served with hash brown special recipe beans, cheeses with guacamole, and your choice of homemade red or green chili sauces. For those who prefer the lighter side, there are fresh made salads and lighter fares. Sure to delight. Try Caitlin's for lunch or breakfast on Mississippi, just east of Colorado Boulevard, next to Bookies. Call 303-798-6600. You'll love it every bite of the way.
You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys. We are here for you. If you have been injured, you can call us for a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. We're still talking about bad faith. Brad, let's kind of give a couple of takeaways on the bad faith about the common law. You don't just have to put up with this when you're dealing with the insurance companies. You have rights, you have remedies, and they know it.
Right, and they know it. And the only way you're going to know it, the only way you're going to be able to deal with it is if you get with an attorney. You have to get an attorney who's going to talk to you about a legal game plan, who's going to help you with a legal game plan and put it together for you. That's what we've been doing for the last 35, 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, well over 30 years.
We've been doing that kind of thing, and we've got lawyers in our office who will do it. If you've been injured, if you know somebody else who's been injured, come talk to us. It's free. We'll sit down and we'll talk to you and we'll help you understand what your rights are and put together a game plan for you.
It's a no-brainer. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack, our law firm is Bell & Pollack. This is the Bell & Pollack Legal Show. We do it for you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.